One of the things about the Psalms, if we're to use reverently the little phrase, honest to God, they are honest before God. And very often the Psalms are that which cry out to God whenever things are difficult. Psalm 56 and Psalm 57, it would be easy to pick the happy Psalms. I don't want to do that because it's not true to life. And so for us, just as we work our way, next week will most definitely be a happier morning in thinking about praise and just all that God gives us. But today is also happy, although it's tough. Have you ever felt like the little person in the picture there? You're just at the end of yourself. And in many senses, that is the picture in Psalm 56 and 57. Actually, Psalm 55, 56, 57, through to 58 and 59 are all in the same sort of genre. They could be called Psalms of Lament, or just life is tough. Warren Wiersbe says of these Psalms, David is manifested, now not in the fancy new term manifested, I'm going to manifest this. He says, David manifested both fear and faith as he cried out to God. In these two Psalms, David is expressing both the terror and the fear and the concern and the worry and the anxiety that is real. But at the same time, is holding on to faith in the God of angel armies who is by his side. Again, often you would hear me quoting Psalm 56, verse 1. First part of it, Eugene Peterson in The Message says, take my side, God, for I'm getting kicked around. Not a day goes by, but somebody beats me up. Like, wow. The NIV, be merciful to me, O God, for men hotly pursue me. All day long they press their attack. But as in Eugene Peterson's words, just so much more earthy. Do you ever feel you're just getting beat up day by day by day? And sometimes you come to that place of saying, where is God in this? Folks, before we can understand the two Psalms, we need to understand the circumstances from where they're written. Actually, if you look at the NIV in the Pew Bible there, it'll tell you just above them some musical ideas. But then when Philistines had seized David in Gath, Psalm 56, and then when he had fled from Saul into a cave in Psalm 57. Let's unpack that very briefly. What are the circumstances David is in at the moment? Psalm 56, we're told that he's in Gath, thinking, he's in Gath. There's a deep significance here. First of all, David is alone. But if you also read in 1 Samuel 17, verse 4, about this big fella across the valley that the wee boy David went out to, Goliath, who was challenging the armies of Israel from Gath. Hang on a minute. So David, who had killed the giant, who was their hero, is now on the run from King Saul because Saul wants to kill him because the people are singing, well, Saul has slain of thousands, but David has 10,000s. And Saul's jealous and he's trying to kill David. He's out for his life. David runs away. Where does he run to? Gath? Actually, he stops at the temple before he goes with the priest. And the priest says, he says, I don't even have a weapon. Do you have a weapon here? He says, well, only the sword of Goliath. And he says, well, that's a great sword. Give me it. And David then runs away to Gath, the place where Goliath came from. He was their hero. And he took with him the sword of their hero. I mean, talk about provocation. Why does he go to Gath? Some of the scholars think it's the last place that Saul would look for him. But he runs to Gath to hide. And he's in Gath, and there's a boy there, King Achish, We read about this in 1 Samuel 21. David is terrified. And he's in Gath, the place of the hero Goliath, whose sword he's now got in his hand. The king is King Achish. Read about it in 1 Samuel 21. We'll not take time to do it now. But David actually feigns madness. That saliva is running out of his mouth, down his beard, and he pretends to be crazy. When he's in Gath, he's been arrested by King Achish. People are saying, that's David, that's their hero. So he pretends to be mad. He is so afraid, he goes to really extreme lengths. We could take time to read it, well, not just for sake of time. But here's an odd thing. Again, you think, what's that about? Jeff Lucas says, the people of Gath practiced a religion that declared the insane to be possessed by the gods, so they left David well alone. He pretended to be mad so they would think, well, he's lost it, we don't need to worry about him. The lengths that David went to in his fear as he was running from Saul, as he went to Gath, the place that he definitely shouldn't have gone to if he wanted to find enemies. Then he pretends to be insane when he's there. He then escapes. And Psalm 57 tells us David's now in a cave. He has escaped from King Achish. He has escaped from King Saul, who's still hunting him. And he goes to a cave. Maybe you know of this place, the cave of Adullam that we now read about in 1 Samuel 21. And when he's there in the cave, we read verse 2 of 1 Samuel 22. The people came to David a wee while later, but initially he's alone. He's in the wilderness. He's in a cave. Is he still trailing the sword of Goliath behind him? He has pretended to be crazy so that he didn't get killed by Achish and his people. He's terrible. I mean, the circumstances, folks, are awful. And we read that in this place, in the cave of Adullam, people came to him who were in distress, in debt, and discontented. And almost like Robin Hood and the Merry Men, a band of outlaws gathered up in the cave of Adullam. People who were in distress, who were in debt, whose life was difficult, came to David. There was a community developed. But that these are the circumstances of Psalm 56 and Psalm 57. I hope that your circumstances aren't as bad as that. But there are maybe things in your life, as you sit in your pew here this morning, your seat this morning, every one of us are carrying concerns and worries and challenges. What are our circumstances as we come to worship God this morning? And on the back of our circumstances, what is our condition? How do we feel on the back of this? Let me just kind of reference quickly. Look at Psalm 56, verses 2, verse 5, and verse 6. What are the words you see? See, David verbally, physically, emotionally, mentally is deeply under pressure. As I scan through some of the words in verses 2, 5, and 6 of Psalm 56, what do you read? Slanderers, attack, twist, plotting, harm, conspire, lurk. Watch my steps. They watch my steps. They are out to take my life. Look at those words, folks. They're not positive, good words. They're words that threaten. This is the... Again, look at the words there that slander and twist and plot, conspire. You know the little phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. When people, you know, never let the truth stand in the way of a good story. And folks in church, we're maybe more guilty of it than others. Did you hear? Or if you've an attitude against somebody, well, just plot and plan and drop in a wee morsel every now and again. And it gets to you. Psalm 56, Slanderers attack, twist, plotting harm, conspire, lurk, watching my steps, wanting to take my life. Psalm 57 doesn't get any better. Look at verses 4 and 5. Let's actually just read them together. I am in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Goodness me. How do we cope with that? Verse 6. Look at verse 6. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in my distress. They dug a pit in my path. I love this. But they have fallen into it themselves. Love this little verse in Luke that Jesus says, wisdom will be proved right by her children. Very often those who are plotting the downfall of others find that it comes back on them themselves. But look at those words again. Lions, ravenous beasts, spears and arrows, sharp swords, spreading a net, digging a pit. Michael Wilcox, in his little commentary, says, although he is alone in the cave, David is keenly aware of his enemies on all sides. Let me read that again. Although he is alone in the cave, David is keenly aware of enemies on all sides. Actually, at the start of this whole journey, as he's running away from Saul, 1 Samuel 20, verse 3, David says to Jonathan, there is only a step between me and death. There is only a step between me and death. David manifested both fear and faith as he cried out to God. Let's turn to the good news here. But just before we go there, folks, and again, I pray your condition isn't like this, but is life hard? The circumstances of your life and the condition that it brings you to as you live in those circumstances. Times life can be really challenging. It's a question of focus. Look at Psalm 56. We're going to read the good news. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 56. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Verses 10 and 11. Psalm 56. In God whose word I praise. Here it is again. In the Lord whose word I praise. He says it twice. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Does David keep saying this to himself? This is when he's in Gath, when he's pretending to be mad to keep himself safe. When I'm afraid, I will trust in God. In God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I won't be afraid. What can man do to me? Look at the confidence here in David. When God's word, I will not. It's an act of his will. What can man do to me? Because God, the God of the angel armies, is so much greater. Confidence in God. Psalm 57, verses 2, 3, and 5. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purposes for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. Verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Actually, verse 8 goes on to say, awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. And actually, what's that's meaning? I didn't put it on the screen. But what it's meaning is David is up before the dawn. And his praise to God and his singing is actually that he's up before the sun has come up. And he's crying out and singing his praise and his thanks to God. Paul writes in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's right and that's true, but sometimes we're this balance between faith and fear, aren't we? And I know it's true. If God is for us, who can be against us? But would I tell you, life's fairly tough at the minute. Maybe that's your circumstance. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. See, there's so much in these Psalms. Allow me just two quick references before we come to a close. In Psalm 56, verse 8, there's this beautiful little picture. Now, not that picture. Anybody, any notion, and please talk to me, anybody, any idea what that is, the little picture on the screen? Oh, so go first here. It is a vial to catch tears. It's a tear bottle that archaeologists have found constantly in graves in the Middle East. If you read the NIV, verse 8 in the NIV chapter of Psalm 56, record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? But if you're looking at the Pew Bible, go to the wee note. You see a wee B there beside scroll. And you go down to the bottom, record my tears in your wineskin, in your bottle. That when our hearts are heavy and when life is sore, when there's tears in our eyes, that the Lord gathers our tears. The Lord gathers our tears and remembers them. Isn't that a beautiful picture? We would miss that in here. And the NIV, and it is right, list my tears on your scroll. It is right and true. Warren Wiersbe again helpfully says, the point is simply that God is aware of what we feel and what we suffer, and his records are accurate. Let me read that again. The point is simple. That God is aware of what we feel and what we suffer, and his records are accurate. He cares. He cares. When life is tough and hard, circumstances and condition, have confidence because he cares. Psalm 57, second part of verse 1. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And these words are echoed in Psalm 36, verse 7, exactly the same words. In Ruth chapter 2, that beautiful old story, in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz says to Ruth, and in chapter 2, verse 12, sorry, just allow me to find it here. Boaz says to Ruth, may you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Jesus, looking down over Jerusalem, says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. We should have sung Living Under the Shadow of His Wings, old chorus we used to sing. We find security, we find peace, we find protection in him. God lists our tears. He gathers our tears because he cares. God says, let me cover you with my wings and protect you when times are hard to live under his wings. But from this confidence here, as we draw to a close, it's about our gaze. That's the nonsense with the boys and girls this morning, the different way we see things. And often our thoughts and our look becomes clouded and confused. But here, twice in Psalm 57, verse 5 and verse 11, David just bursts in the middle of, again, he's hiding in a cave. Initially, he's alone. And yet he calls out, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Folks, in our circumstances, let's look with confidence to God, lift our eyes to him. Derek Kidner says, David wonderfully looks up from his own urgent interests to his overriding concern that God should be exalted. That God may be exalted in our lives in the toughest and darkest of moments. This is very easy to stand and say. It's completely different to live. And again, I've been at those lower moments. David manifested both fear and faith as he cried out to God. And maybe you're in that place this morning. Lord, I believe, help me overcome my unbelief. Been there, got that t-shirt. I imagine you have too. But hold on to the one who is the God of the angel armies. Amen.